In this morning's gospel, we hear about Jesus' first appearance to the apostles after his resurrection. And if we look at it from the standpoint of the apostles, they had just spent 3 years with Christ in his public ministry. They had seen all of his miracles. They had heard his teachings. They had come to believe that he was Lord. They had deepened their friendship with him. And only a couple days before this, when our Lord was experiencing his darkest hour of his passion, they fled. You know, they had abandoned Jesus when he needed them the most. And only out of all the apostles, John was the only one to come back and to be there at the foot of the cross. And so you can imagine they would have been ashamed. They would have felt incredibly guilty, probably embarrassed. And they might have been wondering, what is our Lord going to do to us when we see him again? You know, after they heard about these appearances of the resurrection, is he going to be laying down the hammer when he comes back? But the first words that Jesus says to them are, "Peace be with you." Not words of anger. He doesn't demand an explanation, "Why did you abandon me?" But words of peace. Our Lord knows that we're broken. He knows our moral weakness that leads us to sin. He knows that we do things that we're ashamed of. But when we do that, his first response is to see our brokenness, to see our wretchedness, and desire to heal us. And so if we think about a time that we've sinned, a time that we've done something that we know is terrible, I'm sure we all have had moments like that. How does Jesus respond to us? Not with anger. Not with a desire for retribution. He doesn't give up on us and just throw his hands up in frustration and just say, "Oh, that person's never going to get any better." But he desires to heal us and to renew the grace of our baptism. He wants us, while there's still time, while we still have the opportunity to do so in this life, he wants us to turn and receive forgiveness so that we can one day stand before our Heavenly Father with a pure conscience. In her diary, St. Faustina was the one who received the Divine Mercy apparitions. And she wrote, "Even if a person's sins were as dark as night, God's mercy is stronger than our misery." And that's exactly what we celebrate today with Divine Mercy Sunday. Our notion of God is often distorted because oftentimes we can project our own emotions on God and think that that's what God is like. And so, If we think the Lord should be angry with us, we project that on God. And sometimes our notion of God is correct, but it can often be distorted. And today, with Divine Mercy Sunday, Jesus reveals to us his greatest attribute, which is his mercy. And this is something that should shape our notion of who God is. Mercy is a form of love. It is the application of God's love to those who are broken or who are wounded. And the mercy of Jesus Christ is beyond human comprehension. It transcends our understanding. If we think of the passion of Christ and Jesus at the very moment when he was being crucified, you know, how many of us would have been resentful towards those who were doing that to us? But he was desiring their conversion. And so his mercy is beyond our understanding. And today's feast day comes forth from the very depth of his mercy. He desired and he asked the church to celebrate this feast day each year. And it's a day in particular when the gates of mercy are opened wide and when Jesus Christ promises an ocean of mercy will pour out upon those who seek him on this day. And so the Divine Mercy devotion, there's different elements and different ways in which we can enter into the feast day and receive that grace. And the first way is by venerating the image of Divine Mercy, which is right here in front of the ambo. We see in this image a very dark background, which symbolizes the darkness of our world and the darkness of our lives. And Jesus Christ comes towards us. He's stepping towards us in the image, coming into the darkness in order to reach us. The second element of the devotion is the 3 o'clock hour, 3 p.m., the moment in which Jesus Christ gave his life on the cross. He encourages us each day at 3 p.m., even if we're busy, to just take a moment and to invoke the mercy of Jesus Christ at 3 p.m. If we have time to pray the chaplet or say some longer prayers, but if not, even for just a moment, to invoke the mercy of Jesus Christ at 3 p.m. The third element is the Divine Mercy Chaplet. The fourth element is the Divine Mercy Novena, 9 days of prayer. And traditionally that's prayed from Good Friday to Divine Mercy Sunday, but it could be prayed any time of the year. And the fifth element of the devotion is the feast day itself. Jesus gives us an extraordinary promise on this feast day. He says that everyone who goes to confession and then receives the Eucharist on Divine Mercy Sunday in a state of grace will receive complete forgiveness of all their sins and a removal of all punishment due to sin. And so he gives us this extraordinary promise that if we confess our sins and receive the Eucharist in a state of grace, that he will purify us in a very powerful way. The church has also given an indulgence on this day, which is another way to benefit from Divine Mercy Sunday. And that indulgence has the usual requirements, confession, receiving the Eucharist in a state of grace, praying for the Pope's intentions, and then entering into the Divine Mercy devotions at church, or saying a prayer invoking the mercy of Jesus Christ in church. And so there's different ways in which we can take advantage of the graces of Divine Mercy Sunday. In our gospel, Jesus institutes the sacrament of confession for the very purpose of pouring out his mercy upon us. The confessional is a place where the healing power of Jesus Christ is poured forth in a very powerful way through the ministry of the church, where people can go and hear Jesus Christ speak to them through the priest, the very words, "I absolve you from your sins." A place where people can go and be healed and experience the mercy of Christ. Jesus wanted us to have access to that ocean of mercy. In a particular way, he gives that through the sacrament of confession. And it's interesting that Jesus gives us this sacrament and he entrusts the apostles with it right after they betrayed him. They had just abandoned him. These are people who just turned their back on Jesus Christ and fled in the darkness. And yet he still gives them the sacrament of confession, as sinful as they might be. And why is that? Because it's for that very reason that he knows we need the grace of the sacrament. Jesus says in today's gospel to the apostles, "Whose sins you forgive are forgiven them, and whose sins you retain are retained." And so he gives them the power to forgive sins. But why would a sin ever be retained? You know, what does that mean? Why would a sin not be forgiven? Well, for a sin to be forgiven, first of all, we have to be sorry for that sin. We have to be repentant in order for that sin to be forgiven. And we must intend to stop sinning. So sometimes it's easier said than done, and we have habits that are hard to break. But we at least have to be committed and be striving to stop the sin in order to receive forgiveness. And sometimes there are situations where a person is in ongoing state where things are not proper in their moral life. For example, if someone is working in an immoral job that's on an ongoing basis, and that needs to be rectified. Or if someone's living in an irregular marriage situation, those situations need to be worked through with charity and with patience so that a person can come to the position in which they can receive forgiveness. And so that's not a limitation on the power of forgiveness, but a recognition that we need to have the proper disposition and be in a proper place in order to receive forgiveness. But once we are properly disposed, there's no sin that can't be forgiven through the power of the mercy of Jesus Christ. And so I want to close with a quote from St. John Paul II, who was a great proponent of the Divine Mercy devotion. He said, "There is nothing more man needs than divine mercy. That love which is benevolent, which is compassionate, which raises man above his weakness to the infinite heights, to the holiness of God."